He's all I need when I just need someone to talk to. He's always there to hear my prayer each time I call him. All my needs he will supply, my thirsty soul he satisfies, for he's the Lord of all, and he's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary, he eases every pain, he feels my deepest longings time and time again. And he's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything, and he's all I need. He's all I need. I dare not turn to any other, for he's my friend that's closer than any brother. And on this friend I will rely to be my strength as life goes by, for he's the Lord of all, and he's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary, he eases every pain, he feels my deepest longings time and time again. For he's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything, and he's all that I need. For he's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything, and he's all that I need.
Well, that's wonderful, and that's true. I could not help but see some of our dear widow ladies back there showing their appreciation for the song and the truth that he is our every need, our everything. Could you turn me up a little bit? When Brother McFadden fell, evidently he jarred everything so much that it's not quite like it was. So, Brother Miss Kenny is visiting with us, and I want you to know you're a part of a miracle. It is a miracle to get Brother and Mrs. Wilkins on the second row. And you know, God answers prayer, because before I came, I prayed this morning that he'd put some sinners on the first and second row. So, thank y'all for coming. Brother and Ms. Wilkins, thank you for inviting guests and friends. That's a special blessing. Open your Bibles to John chapter 14 and Romans chapter 14. John chapter 14 and Romans chapter 14. John chapter 14 and Romans chapter 14. Having found your place, would you stand out of love and respect for the Word of God? And I'll read the first three verses of John 14. Let me remind you that these are the words of Jesus Christ the day before his crucifixion. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now I want you to notice the words of Jesus when he said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, I'm going to die. I've already told you. Don't worry about that. Don't fret over it. Believe in me. Believe what I've told you. You believe in God, believe also in me. Then here he tells us not to worry, not to be concerned, not to be troubled of heart. And then over in Romans chapter 14, beginning in the last half of verse number 10, Paul says, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. So here in the first passage, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Trust me. Put your confidence in me. Then over here in chapter 14 of Romans, Paul is saying, you better get concerned. There's a day coming when every one of us has got to stand before God, the judgment seat of Christ, and give an account of our life as Christians and how we've lived it. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever worry? Be honest. How many of you are worry warts? You worry about everything. Raise your hand up high. And how many of the rest of you are liars? Yes. We worry. It's our nature. And I want you to know there are some things that we ought not have one worry about. But there's some things we ought to be gravely concerned about also. Father, help me this morning as we bring this message to help people to take a look at their life and their standing before God. Help them to be able to answer the question honestly, am I saved? Do I know that I know that I know I'm saved? And once we get that question answered, then help us to ask the question and answer it, am I ready to stand before God as I'm living my Christian life? Am I doing as little as I can get by with, or am I doing my best for Jesus? Now, Lord, fill me with Thy Holy Spirit and help me to speak this morning with liberty and power. Use the message to do a work in every heart here. Save the unsaved. Draw the Christians to a closer and a right relationship with Thee. And we'll thank You for every heart that shall be touched, every decision that shall be made in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I read an article the other day that stated, and this is good news for you worry warts, 85% of all the things we worry about never come to pass. 85% of all the things we worry about never come to pass. A lot of energy wasted worrying. The article also stated that there was 13% of the things people worry about that we have absolutely no control over. So 85% never to come to pass, 13% we have no control over it. That leaves only 2% of the things we worry about that really are should be a concern to us. Some of you would not have anything to do if you didn't worry. I know of some people who could become professional worriers. They worry about everything. Sometimes they worry because they don't have anything to worry about at that moment. They worry as if there's no God in heaven. In our scripture reading for the message, the two passages seem to be contradictory. One said, don't worry, don't let your heart be troubled. Jesus said that. Then Paul, admonishing Christians, said, you'd better get concerned about your life, because every one of us have got to stand before God and give an account of the life we're living. Jesus is telling bewildered disciples and us not to allow our heart to be troubled, but believe in Him. In Romans 14, Paul is saying that you better get concerned about your life as a Christian and the way you're living it, because every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Now, these verses indicate that every one of us must be concerned now about that day when we stand before God and give an account of our lives and our stewardship as we have lived here for Jesus Christ. Someone has appropriately asked in days past, if you were arrested for being a Christian and serving God, would there be enough evidence from your life to convict you? Could you prove that you're a child of God? Our scriptures are in no way contradicting each other. They're saying that there's some things that we don't have to be concerned about one bit in our Christian life. Then he's saying there's some things we better give attention to. We'd better be concerned about. And that's what I want to preach about this morning for a little while. First of all, there's some things a person does not have to spend even 1 second worrying about if he's truly saved. May I say, first of all, if we are truly saved, if you are truly saved, we do not have to worry about sins of the past. All sin committed before Christ, before our salvation, was put upon Christ. He paid for them, blotted them out, washed them away, and will never remember them again. Now, I was a rebel before I got saved. A scoundrel. And I got a sneaking suspicion you weren't much better. But thank God when we got saved, old things passed away, all things become new, and we became a new creature in Christ Jesus. And God cannot even remember sins committed before we got saved. Don't have to worry about it. They're under the blood, blotted out. Never remembered again. The record book of heaven on my life started the day when I got saved. Everything else is blotted out, forgiven, never to be remembered again. Bible says, for the child of God there is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. I'm no longer an enemy to God. That's been taken care of on Calvary by Jesus Christ when I put my trust in Him. I'm justified, declared righteous in the sight of God on the merits of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible goes a step further and tells us that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and all things have become new. I have a new beginning in Christ Jesus. John writes in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, what a promise. What a promise. God did for us what we could not do. To walk in the light means to walk in the truth of God's Word. And He says, if we'll get saved the Bible way, then we can be certain the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. But the good news is that shed blood is not only available for the sins before we got saved, therefore it's available for the sins after we get saved. You do understand that though we are perfected in Christ in our standing in heaven because of Jesus, in our earthly life, we're not perfect. We still blow it from time to time. Some blow it more often than others. But thank God, God has made provision for sins committed after we got saved. 1 John is written to Christians. Written to them that know that they know that they know they have eternal life. And he says the blood of Christ, of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Didn't say has cleansed. That would show a past action. Didn't say shall cleanse. That would be sometime in the future. But it said the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us. Cleanseth. That means it did, it is, and it will continue to do so. Thank God for the work of Jesus Christ for us. I don't have to worry about my sin. There's nothing I can do to undo what God has done for me in His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the reason salvation is not just for today or as long as I can hold on or hold out. That's the reason God says it's forever. It starts the moment we receive Christ and it lasts through the endless ages of eternity. It is forever and ever and ever, world without end, eternity without end, once you accept Jesus Christ. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus and we are kept cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Now the Bible says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The Bible says if we say we have no sin, we're calling Him a liar because He says we're all sinners. But he said in 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me tell you how that's misconstrued by many. Some think that after you get saved and you sin and you don't confess it, you lose your salvation. That's not what he's saying. He's written it to Christians. He's saying the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That has to do with our eternal standing in Christ Jesus. But then for our daily walk and fellowship with God, he says, but hey, if you sin, remember you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for your sin, not for yours only, but for the sin of the whole world. And he says, but if we'll confess our sins, he'll forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as a Christian, I don't have to worry about sins of the past or sins that I've committed because they're under the blood of Jesus. As a Christian, I don't have to worry about sins that I have committed and confessed because once confessed, they're forgiven, blotted out, will never be remembered again, and will not hinder me in my relationship with my Savior. See, sin in the Christian life does not break salvation's bond on us. It breaks our fellowship with Him. It hinders us from having that close, sweet relationship. It steals away our power, our joy, and our usefulness. But he says if we'll confess that sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God wants us to keep our record clean. God wants us not only to have that wonderful, perfect standing in Christ in heaven, he wants us to have a clean record here on earth. So he wants us to have that sweet fellowship with him in our daily life. So he's made provision for us to confess our sins. Now let me teach you something. When I got saved, I didn't have to confess every sin I ever committed. If I'd had to do that, I couldn't have got saved because I couldn't have remembered so many. There were so many. And neither could you. But God asked us to confess and acknowledge that we're sinners. And then God, who had not forgotten one of them, had a record of every one of them, took them and put them under the blood of Jesus, put them on the cross of Christ, paid for them in the suffering and dying of Jesus and canceled out our record and washed our sins away and made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. So, we don't have to worry about sins coming. Now, I'm not speaking in a manner for us to be careless about our sinning. No, it's God's will that we sin not. God wants us to live holy lives. He wants us to live in fellowship with Him. And you don't have to commit willful sin. You don't have to go through life willfully sinning. God has made us victors in Christ Jesus. We don't have to live a victim's life. We're more than conquerors in Christ. He don't want us to be flippant about sinning. But He wants us to know that if we do sin, He's made provision. You don't have to live in worry and fear and uncertainty for the rest of your life, because the God who loved you enough to send His Son on Calvary to die for you has already made provision in Jesus Christ. If we will confess that sin, He will blot that sin out, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and renew and restore that sweet fellowship with Him. May I say, secondly, if we've been truly saved, we don't ever have to worry about being condemned to hell. I hear people all the time say, well, I don't know if I had enough faith to get saved. How much faith does it take? Does it take a bucket full? A tub full? A dump truck full? Does it take a boxcar full? How much faith does it take? I'll give you a Bible answer. The Bible says that faith is a gift of God. Our ability to believe that we're sinners and call upon Him to save us comes from God. It is God's gift to give us enough faith to believe and call on Jesus Christ. And according to the Bible, if you had enough faith believing He died for your sins and rose again for your justification, if you had enough faith to ask Him to save you, that's enough faith to get saved today, tomorrow, and forever. Forever. Now, because God has given to us eternal life, that means I don't ever have to worry about hell. So many Christians waste their Christian life fretting, wondering or not if they had enough faith to get saved, or will they die and go to hell anyway. Trust Jesus. Don't live your life in that kind of worry. You believe God, believe also Jesus and His promise. He promised that He'd give to us eternal life and we shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck us out of His hand. We're saved and secure in Christ. Listen to what I'm about to say. Not one Christian will ever spend 1 second in the fires of hell. The only thing a Christian will ever know about hell is what we read in the Bible, because we won't ever go there. Oh, hallelujah, what a Savior. Now, yes, I don't believe we'll stand at the great white throne judgment to be judged, but I believe we'll be witnesses of it. And I believe we'll be witnesses of those cast into the lake of fire. But we won't ever know anything about it. We won't ever feel its heat. We won't ever be there in its torments. We won't be a part of the multitudes that have lived without Christ and died without Christ. And you do know that hell is basically the scum, the garbage heap of humanity. You say, are you calling me garbage? No. But if you live your life without Jesus Christ, you've missed your purpose here. And you've missed your opportunity to be saved. And you won't ever know anything about heaven. You will be cast into hell, so said the Word of God. And it is forever and ever and ever. But thank God the Christian will never have to worry about it. When I got saved at age 15, God gave me salvation and put someone in me, the Holy Spirit of God. He lives in me, and He is my assurance. The old devil comes say, "You really think you're saved?" Holy Spirit's there to speak up, give a witness within. Bring me back to my memory and my mind of that day when I walked that aisle and accepted Christ as my Savior. He reminds me of what Christ has done for me and the verses where Christ promises me everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He comes to us and says, You think you've worked enough to obtain it. The Holy Spirit reminds us it's not by works of righteousness that man should do. It's a gift. It's given to us. And even a little child can receive a gift and be happy about it. Oh, what a blessing. We don't ever have to worry about dying and going to hell if we've been truly saved. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." If a person has truly put his trust in Jesus Christ as his Savior, he does not have to worry whether or not the price for our sin has been completely paid. You see, there are religious groups that teach that Jesus only made a down payment on our salvation. We've got to keep up the installments and works. That's heresy. Hebrews 10:10 says, "We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Hebrews chapter 10 verse 12 says, "But this man Jesus, had he, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down on the right hand of God." That statement, sitting on the right hand of God, means there was nothing else to do, so he could sit down. It was finished. Verse number 14 says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." And that word sanctified means to be set apart in Christ Jesus. When are we set apart in Christ? When we put our trust in Him. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left its crimson stain. He washes us white as snow. I'm happy to tell you today that there's coming a day when God's children will not have to worry about the tricks and trials of the devil any longer. Though Satan is alive and well today, he's actively trying to trip up many of God's children. We're warned to be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he might devour. We must not forget that he is a defeated foe and can be resisted. The only power Satan has over the Christian's life is what you allow him to have. He has no place in your life, no place in your heart, no place in your mind, unless you allow him to come in. You open up those doors through music you listen to, things you watch, things you hear, places you go. Thank God God didn't intend for us to be victims. But he said we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. One of these days, Satan's going to be taken and cast into the lake of fire. That'll be his end. We'll never know that. So he's defeated. He's just got a little bit of time left to tempt and to try, to confuse. He's working overtime. But Christian, walk with God. Spend time in the Word of God. Get into a Bible-believing Baptist church and serve God and live for God and take care of the upkeep of your spiritual life so you can live in joy and peace and thanksgiving. Then let me hurry on. There's some things every Christian should be troubled about as we face the judgment seat of Christ. You ought to be concerned about your stewardship. Stewardship is how we use what God has entrusted to us in times, talents, and treasures. How are we using that for God? Are we giving Him our time? You work overtime, and do you use it as an excuse to lay out of church? No, you didn't. Amen, Corey. Appreciate you being here working overtime and late last night. Is it raining and we use it for an excuse to lay out of church? You didn't. Shouldn't. We have a short period of time to serve our Lord and live for the Lord. And one of these days we're going to stand before Him and give an account of how we've used our time, our talents, our treasures for Him. I ought to be concerned about what I'm doing with my life. Some of you as Christians that don't come to church regularly, you don't serve God, you don't tithe, you don't give to missions, you don't pray, you don't go soul winning. You ought to be concerned about the life you're living, because one of these days you're going to have to look in the eyes of a Savior who died for you and explain to Him why you accepted His love but didn't love Him enough to be faithful to live for Him and serve Him. We ought to be concerned about our stewardship, because we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every Christian ought to be concerned about their soul winning efforts while in this life. You do know this is the only time we can do it. Not going to be any soul winning in heaven. Not going to be any soul winning in hell. This is the only place on this earth we can go soul winning. We can reach people for Jesus Christ. God tells us we're to bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit. That's the plan of God for our life. How are you involved in it? We ought to be concerned about how little of our life and love we really give to the Lord Jesus. Oh, we're quick to tell everybody we love Him, but do we? What's the evidence in your life that says you love Jesus Christ? I'd better be concerned about that. Not for you, but for me. I can't do anything about you. But I'd better be concerned about my life. And then I'd better be concerned about how little heaven's record book really says I've done for Jesus Christ. Oh, it's going to have how much we've done for the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts and this little league team and that little league and this program and that program and this social program, how good we were at politicking for a candidate. But what does the record book say that you've done for Jesus Christ? I'm afraid that record book's going to show we've done very little. We better be concerned about that. And then one more thing, and I'll be through. There's some things you'd better be concerned about if you've never been saved. You ought to be concerned. You ought to be troubled. Shortly before I got saved at age 15, man, I got to thinking about my lost condition. I wasn't raised to be a rebel. I wasn't raised to be a prodigal. I wasn't raised like that, but that's what I'd chosen. And for a couple of months before I got saved, I got to thinking about it and I got to dreaming about it. I had a dream one time that I was out. Now, you dream according to the surroundings you live in. It was my job to slop the hogs. And I dreamed I had the bucket. And I was going to the hog pen, and I heard a terrible noise coming out of the east. And I looked, and I saw bombers. Bombers. And they had a hammer and sickle on the side of them. You know, they'd put us through bomb drills. We had to get under our seat like it was going to stop all of the radiation. We had those drills. On the news, talking about Russia, their bombs, and they're going to bomb us. Man, I got to dreaming about it. And I saw those things coming over. And I saw them open their bomb bay doors in my dream. And I saw those bombs starting to fall. I said, this is it. I'm going to hell. And I laid down and put my hands over my chest like this on the ground by the hog pen, going to hell from the hog pen. And I woke up. Church was in a revival meeting. Son, it didn't take a whole lot of convincing this sinner he needed to get saved. I got concerned about my lost condition, and when they gave that invitation, I went down the aisle and said, preacher, I want to get saved. I don't want to go to hell. I was more concerned about hell than the bombing. The bomb would be a short period of time. Hell's forever. And you're here today without Jesus Christ, whatever your situation, you'd better be concerned about where you're going to spend eternity. Because there's not planet A, planet B, planet C. There's not gumbo and limbo and purgatory and then hell. No, it's hell and a lake of fire. We'd better get concerned about it. Because if we don't personally and individually accept Christ as Savior, every one of us are condemned already to that place called hell. It's not going to be based on how much wrong you've done. It's going to be based on the fact that you didn't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You'd better be concerned about that this morning. Oh, he says, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Then he inspires Paul to say, hey, Christians, you'd better get concerned about some things of your life. And let me just say, if you're unsaved, you'd better get concerned, because you have no future except judgment and then hell. Jesus provided salvation for everyone and anyone who will call upon Him. I've called upon Him. Have you? If not, why? You planning on dying and going to hell? I promise you, there's not one person here that looked me in the face and say, preacher, I'm planning on burning in hell. No, I don't want to go there, and you don't either. That's the reason you're here today. But there's not one chance in 10 trillion you could skip hell and miss hell without accepting Jesus as your Savior. Won't you trust Him this morning? Why don't you get rid of that worry and that fear and that trouble from your heart and life? And Christian, why don't you devote your life to Jesus Christ? Why don't you get into His plan and into His church and into His program and live with the joy and peace that He's promised? Have a life worth living here with heaven to look forward to. Boy, what a life. What a life. Father, that's our message. Speak to our hearts now. Lord, there's people here today that need to be saved, and they know it. And there's people who are saved that need to get in church, and they know it. And there's church members that need to get right and get busy, and they know it. And even now, while we're about to sing an invitation song, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us about our own particular need. Lord, would You save every unsaved person in this building this morning? Would You help Your children to realize the wonderful gift we have in Christ Jesus and yield our life and our all to You? Help us not to make excuse or to put off making a decision, but help us to make that decision for You today and begin that wonderful journey living for Jesus in the short time we have left. Heads are bowed and eyes